the first non-Poberesny president of EAA. That's got to be interesting. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for the download. Today, you're going to hear part 3 of 4 of my interview with Rod Hightower, who started last month as only the third president of the Experimental Aircraft Association in its 57-year history, and the first who's not named Poberesny. Rod, you've been in business all your life, you've worked for other people, but you've never been through a recruitment process like this one. You didn't just get hired at EAA, it's more like getting adopted. My experience in business is limited, but I've experienced enough to observe that there's some sweetness in working for a company that has a family structure, but also some challenges you wouldn't find in a publicly traded for-profit corporation. What about EAA?
Well, you know, that's a very insightful question, Paul, and a very insightful observation. Here's how I would frame that up. First and foremost, value speaks for itself. Performance speaks for itself. So when you have an individual who understands and consistently delivers performance and consistently delivers value, you probably have found yourself an individual that knows how to separate what's important from what's less important. So I guess I would have to say that I was almost invited in is a pretty fair word to describe it. I would have to say that throughout the entire course of the process of EA getting to know me and me getting to know them, there was never a moment in which I didn't feel very comfortable in the dialogue and almost natural in the entire process. By the time it came to the end in June, it had been the most natural flowing process I think I've ever experienced in my life, or certainly in my career. So you can tell when things are a good fit, usually in the early part of it, but always near the end of it. And my assessment of the fit continued to get better and better through the process. And I can tell you, having been onboarded now for officially since July 26th, the fit is even better now, a month into the job, starting September 7th, than it was at the end of the process in June. That's an important indicator of a good fit, a good collaborative effort, and complementary skills. So I'd have to tell you, I mean, I've spent a lot of time with Tom. Tom's a very high-functioning intellectual guy, very smart guy, very experienced in the aviation. He grew up in this world. This is his life. Not only is it an important legacy that he's created for all of aviation, it's an important legacy that he's carried on from his father, Paul, and his family. And I'll continue to represent that strongly and carry that legacy forward. But I can tell you also, in my Fortune 500 background, family-owned businesses have some dynamics about them that often run into some challenges. Mm-hmm. Tom is very keenly aware of what those challenges are, and he's very smart about how he identifies his strengths, his capabilities, compared to that against what's needed to grow and be successful. And Tom is moving into a new phase of his life. He's not retiring. He's not going away. He's fit. He's healthy. He's energetic. Tom is going to be an integral part of the success of EA as we move forward and help us all realize those ambitions that EA have.
Well, Rod, I come out of this with a sense that they picked the right guy. I know it was Tom described it as a process that started with maybe 300 people and went through stages and got down to, you know, 3 on a short list. And you were announced as the guy back in July. And I hope our listeners, as I do, feel more comfortable with just knowing a little bit more about you. And go get them.
Well, thank you, Paul. There's plenty to go get. I can assure you of that. And you seem to be well informed in that category.
When we first had this conversation, this is where it ended. But in talking after the recording stopped, we got on the topic of the unique challenges facing what I call the low end of the light sport aviation market. And Rod said he felt strongly about it and wished it had come up while the tape was rolling. So, in a moment, tape rolls again. More with EAA President Rod Hightower in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plagg. Some informal conversation after I finished my interview with EAA's new president, Rod Hightower, led to the topic of entry-level aviation, and I discovered Rod had some strong feelings and opinions. Since parts of this end of the market are in real crisis regarding regulatory hurdles and other battles, I thought you might like to hear Rod's feelings and opinions. Rod, I have to ask you a question about the low end of the market. There is a small aviation publication out there that's dedicated to powered parachutes, paragliders, small experimental light sport aircraft that has as its slogan, aviation for the rest of us. To me, that's a very powerful slogan, because if you look at even the cost of a new factory-built SLSA fixed-wing aircraft right now, a lot of them are up way beyond what I think the originators of the LSA movement hoped would be the new entry level. And there are also some pretty serious regulatory challenges for getting instruction in some parts of light sport aviation right now. Talk about your take on that and your level of awareness and what you see going on.
That's a great topic, and it's one that I love to talk about. Here's what I am a student of. I am a student of things that work well. And I will shamelessly borrow, utilize, and implement ideas and innovation and creativity from any quadrant that makes sense and put that to good use for the betterment of all of aviation. If you ask me what I think about the aviation for the rest of us, first of all, it's aviation for all of us. And what I think is wonderful about the wide world of aviation and the richness and depth of it is there's a place, there's an interest, and there's a technology, and there's even a financial entry point or exit point for everybody, and it'll fit any wallet. One of the factors, I think, that is going to be required to grow aviation are reducing the barriers to entry, and that can include financial as well as technology. So what you call the low, or someone has called the low end of the market, I do not see that as being the right way to articulate what light sport and ultralights are. It is an end of the market. It is a segment of the market that is not only critical as an opportunity to help grow aviation, but it is also fun, innovative, and exciting. I mean, that type of transportation is really a lot about fun flying. And let's not forget, most of us got into flying because it was fun first. Then we decided to do other things with it. I have to be candid. Ultralights are not an area that I know a lot about. The rules and regulatory process, not a specialty of mine. So my advocacy team here, my Earl, Doug McNair, those guys are bringing me up to speed on what that world is all about and what it's like. And by the way, I went down and I spent two mornings with their ultralight community during Air Venture, and I met some of the most interesting, fun people. Not only are they fun and cool people, but they're very passionate about aviation, and they know what they have. So if you were to say to me, what are you going to do about that? Well, first of all, let's get back to the core mission of EAA. EAA is all about increasing the opportunity to fly, reducing barriers to entry, and expanding the universe of potential aviators. To me, ultralights, light sport, does just that.
I would think that that end of the market, whatever you choose to call it, and I wasn't using low end necessarily in a derogatory fashion, but strictly regarding price, obviously one of the things that causes the dropout rate between pilot starts and certificate completions is cost. AOPA has recently said there's a 70 to 80% dropout rate in new student starts before they ever get to their private pilot certificate. Obviously, historically, anecdotally, we know that a lot of people consider soloing to be what they came for. That's the challenge, and once they get there, they don't feel they have to go any further. But I guess for a lot of people, the way they get further is either in ultralights that operate under Part 103, which have very few regulations and don't even require a certificate, but in light sport aircraft, which are, you know, minimalist aircraft that do require a certificate, and I would think the FAA would want to encourage to be part of this system. So is that kind of on the radar, or is that have those dots been connected yet within your organization to know that this side of aviation might be part of retention?
First of all, the dots amongst the senior leadership team members in the EAA absolutely have been connected, that is an important part of aviation, and that it might help aviation in ways maybe we've not thought well about. You know, we'll comment about that. First of all, we have lots of friends at the FAA, and we have a very positive relationship with Randy Babbitt and his staff. I continue to be impressed with the quality of the people that I meet and interact with at the FAA. However, bureaucracy will never improve anything. So the way you use that term bureaucracy, you have to be careful. Effective people, effective processes, and effective policy that are guided and governed, created and implemented by intellectual people who truly know what they're doing and the markets and the issues they're tackling and the opportunities they're capturing are what creates value and makes a difference. If bureaucracy helps that end, good. We can call it useful. If bureaucracy doesn't help that end, not so good. We can't say that's an effective way to get things done. You know, innovators come in all forms. Innovation can come from many places. And when innovation comes face-to-face with the regulatory process, the regulatory process has to be current and relevant enough to understand what opportunities there are to capture, what risks and issues need to be managed the appropriate way, but more importantly, how do you provide a framework for safety that moves innovation into the commercialized market space at a rate that is not only enhances safety, but also enhances economic value and enhances participation in aviation. It's a complex recipe, no question about it. But just because it's a complex recipe doesn't mean it's an excuse for mediocrity, doesn't mean that it's an excuse not to move forward, and doesn't mean that it's an excuse not to embrace it. Intellectual, innovative, creative people who have an absolute focus on the end game will find a way to make that work not only faster, but more effectively and certainly more economically. There needs to be some improvement there, and EAA is absolutely on it. Now, there are some things that I think need to be improved. Absolutely, there are plenty of things that need to be improved. But it is on our mission at EAA to help that, lower those barriers to entry to aviation. I support aviation of all types, though that segment that some refer to as the financial low end, man, that's important. And I am so impressed, by the way, with the safety and the technology that I see underway in the ultralight community. I'm impressed. It has come a long way in the last 30 years, and a lot of folks may not remember that. I remember when some of the fixed-wing pilots around the airport would make fun of ultralights and call them flying lawn furniture. Well, you know what? That's the old school. That's an unaware, undereducated approach to thinking about that particular segment of the market. Unfortunately, some of that still carries over. But if you go out there and you get up close and personal with the ultralight community, I think you'll be impressed. I think anybody would be impressed, no matter what their interest in aviation may be.
Tomorrow, very light sport aircraft are on EAA's radar. What about on the FAA's radar? Hear the conclusion of my conversation with new EAA president Rod Hightower. Find out more about the Experimental Aircraft Association at EAA.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.